go. Introductory shiur to Perakei Lametzias, and I hope after the Yom Tovim to continue with a weekly shiur. It's my hope that people will prepare the basics of a sugya, and then we'll talk about it a little. We'll go it over and add a little bit, drop more in depth. And again, I'm hoping to do Wednesday night. That seemed like the night that works best for people, but by all means, there's a sign-in sheet going around. Give me your feedback, and if there's a different night or time that works better, we will try to accommodate. So as an introduction, and again, there's a couple more source packets if anybody wants over here on the table. The topic that I wanted to address tonight, and please do not be intimidated by the sources, is really a simple question, which is, why do we need simonim to return an aveda? Anybody who has a little bit of familiarity with this chapter or with the halachos of returning lost objects knows that the way it works is somebody finds something, and if the loser can demonstrate that it's his by saying, I know it has such and such indication on it, on the back side, 3 inches down, there's a scratch, something of that nature, he can give a simon, so then he is able to claim that he's the rightful owner, and he gets it back. There's a fundamental question, and I thought this would be a nice way to introduce the chapter with this question, because it really shows two very different approaches to that basic question, why do we need simonim? And it will give us some exposure to different things within the parak, within the chapter, so I thought it would be a nice way to introduce. So the first Mishnah on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph ends with the line, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kol Kleyan Puria Ein Chayev L'Hachris. After the Mishnah list, these are things you're allowed to keep. If you found this and this and this and this, these are all things that have no simonim on them, and therefore the loser gives up hope, he has yish. So at the end of that Mishnah, I'm not going through the whole thing now, too complicated for me. At the end, the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, anything that is quote-unquote kalei on Puria, you don't have to announce. Ein chayev l'hachriz. So on Puria is an unfamiliar word to us. So in the Gemara, on Chav Gimel Medbeis, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, bottom of Chav Gimel Medbeis, the Gemara discusses, what is this? And the Gemara says it means new utensils, new items. The Gemara uses a phrase, shalosav osan ha'ayin, that the eye has not yet been sated by them, meaning you're not used to them. There are things that are yours that you're used to, you know what they look like. These are so new that you can't really claim that you recognize them because they're fresh, they're new. There's no way you'd really recognize it. So then the Gemara asks a question, says, what does that mean? That shouldn't be the determinant. What determines whether you have to announce a lost object or not is, does it have a simon or not? Does it have a striking mark on it? Does it have something on it that makes it stand out? Here we're talking about a different criterion. We're talking about, do you recognize it or not? Right? There are things that I recognize, this is my jacket. I can't give you any simon, but if we're hanging in the back of a chair, I would say, yeah, that one's mine. But there's no simon on it. So that's what we're talking about. It's old enough, as my jacket is, it's old enough that one could recognize it, but it doesn't have a simon on it. So the Gemara says, well, then why does that matter? I thought the whole thing, all that matters is, does it have simonim or not? What is this different criterion of clay on purio, which Rashi says, by the way, is ein po raya. It has no proof, has nothing indicative about it. But what is that? It sounds like a different criterion. So the Gemara answers, to give it back to a tzur b'merabana, to give it back to a Talmud Chacham. Because to a Talmud Chacham, you give it back. If he says, I recognize it, that thing over there, I have no simon on it, but I recognize that's mine. Talmud Chacham comes along and says, that thing you found, it's mine, I recognize it. I say, can you give me a simon? Is there any identifying feature? He says, no, there really isn't, but I'm telling you it's mine. So if it is something old enough that one could recognize it, he gets it back. But if it's a suit that looks like it was just bought yesterday, or it's an item that came right off the rack, then we assume he's mistaken. There's not, you couldn't possibly recognize it, and then we don't give it back.
Is the jacket has size?
There's three levels of simanim. Bad, medium, and very good, which we'll get to later. That would be a poor level simon, probably. But here we're just talking about just recognition, the things we recognize. There are things we recognize in life. So that's what it means. And the Gemara goes on to say, someone made a statement that Talmidei Chachamim, the scholars, will only change the truth in three instances. V'maseches, bepuriu, v'ushpiza, v'arim achof kimobez, tavachof dalam and aleph. One of them is the machlokas, what it means. I don't want to get into that too much now, but why did he make that statement? Why did, who was it? Why did Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel say there's only three things that a Torah scholar will change the truth for? So they might not be. Why are you making such a statement? The answer is, if he's a person of that caliber, that he would only change the truth in those three legitimate cases, but otherwise he would never stray from the truth, then you can give him back his lost object, even by dint of just the fact that he said, I recognize it. So we have this halacha that Klei and Puria are returned to a Talmid Chacham with what's called Tevius Ayin. Simply, I recognize it, I get it back. So this raises a big question. Why? Nowhere else in the Torah do you find that a Talmid Chacham has an outstanding ne'emonos, state of being believed. Plus, the Ran complicates the matter further. Okay, if you looked at the sources, we have a machlokus between the Ritva and the Ran, two great Rishonim. If you printed the sources off of the email, this I think is the second page. If you have the booklet that I just gave out, I think I put it after the Ran. But we have a difference of opinion between the Ran and the Ritva. How broad is this exception? Okay, usually you need to give a simon. In halacha, what would you assume? Somebody loses an object, I find it. In order for you to get it back, what do you need to do? Well, certainly if you can bring two witnesses who say it's yours, I'm going to give it back. Or you come with a siman. Now we have this exception. Or Talmud Chacham could just look at it and say, I recognize it, it's mine, as long as it's something a little bit aged or the like, that we trust that he really, his mind's not playing tricks on him, he would get it back. How broad is that exception of a Talmud Chacham? So if you looked at the Ritva in Maseches Gittin, comes up in Gittin because there's a discussion about giving back a get that was found. So I did you the favor of even bolding the end of it. Umiyu afilu l'tzorba merabonim kima adrinan le'avedasa b'tfiyas eina omar rabbeinu neru. When we talk about giving back a lost object to a Talmud Chacham by just simple recognition, says my master Neru, which is Natre Rachmanu Parke, the ancient form of Shlita. It's talking about the Ra'ah, probably Ra'an Halevi. So my master taught us, the Dafka B'davar Shehu Shalo, only if it's his. Avol Kishemeid V'Omer Davar Zami Plonihu V'Slei Tvias Eina B'Gavei Lo. If a Talmud Chacham, I found something, I was walking down Montgomery Avenue, I found something, a great Talmud Chacham came along and he said to me, I recognize it, it's his. It doesn't work. It only works for himself, says the Ritva. So this exception, according to the Ritva of Talmud Chacham, is when he's claiming something for himself. It does not work for him to claim it for somebody else, says the Ritva, the Havade Eidus he. That would be Eidus, that would be testimony. There's no halacha that a Talmud Chacham can serve in the place of two witnesses. He's not a more valid witness than anybody else. Might be a great scholar, might be a great tzaddik, but he's not. Doesn't become like two witnesses. He's not more believed than anybody else, but for himself, it's some kind of personal claim. That's where we have this halachic exception, but not for somebody else. That's the Ritva. However, the Ran says not like that. So I wanted to keep you busy this week, so I gave you the whole Gemara that the Ran is commenting on. I tricked you. You didn't really have to learn the whole Gemara to understand the Ran. You didn't even have to read the whole Ran to understand the Ran. It's one sentence in the Ran. In school, I tell the teachers not to give the students busy work, but Torah busy work is good. It's actually good to see the sugya in Chulin, but it was not absolutely essential at all to understand it. So if you don't listen for the next 2 minutes, I'm going to check your messages, whatever it is. You won't actually be missing anything, but it is good to be aware of this Gemara in Chulin because it has general implications for what we're learning. So I'm just going to run through what the Gemara in Chulin says in order to get to the Ran. The Gemara in Chulin says like this, Rava said, I used to think that simanim are better than recognition, that simanim are better than tvius ayin. Let me explain what he means so we don't get confused. There's two different issues. One is whether you believe somebody. How do I know you're not lying? Another is just how sure you can be of yourself. I'm pretty sure that thing is mine. Rava is not discussing whether a person's lying or not. He's just talking about what is a more foolproof way of discerning that something is yours. So he says, I used to think that simanim, having a simon, having some identifying feature, is better than tvius ayin, is better than recognizing. That's what I used to think, says Rava. Why do you think that? Because when it comes to returning a lost object, we trust simonim. If you can give a simon on it, it has a scratch 3 inches down on the left side, we give it back. But if you just say, I recognize it, that's mine, we don't give it back to you. So Rava said, I used to think that simonim were more foolproof than recognition. But then the Gemara Chulin is talking about when it comes to certain halachas, we trust your recognition. The mere fact that you recognize something is sufficient. He says, when I heard that, then I realized it's the other way around. Recognizing something is more foolproof than simonim. And then the Gemara goes on to say, yeah, it has to be that way. That must be true on the Tzani Vava Mid Aleph in the seventh parak of Chulin. Because there's so many things where there's no simon, but we rely on recognition for the ultimate halachically important matters. Man lives with his wife. It's a different woman, married woman, somebody else. That would be the biggest prohibition. And yet, they recognize it. Recognition doesn't only mean by sight, it can mean by sound. A blind person is married to his wife and he's allowed to rely on that. You're dealing with potential isurim. What's the answer? You recognize. We rely on recognition all the time. They say if two witnesses would come along and say so and so, who has a certain mark on himself, killed Reuven, we wouldn't put him to death for that. But if they say that person whom we recognize killed Reuven, we would put him to death. Why? They're relying on recognition. We rely on the fact that you recognize somebody. Rav Ashi gives a practical example. If you go over to your shliach, you have an agent, and you say to him, go call so-and-so who has such-and-such mark on him. He might find him, he might not. But if he knows the guy, he recognizes the guy, and you say, go call so-and-so, and he knows what he looks like, he'll find him. So a tvias ayin recognition is more reliable than simonim. So the Ran, in commenting on this Gemara, it's on Daf Lamed Dalet in the Dape Harif. Not even going to go through the whole thing, but about 15 lines down, right alongside the Shilti HaGiborim. If you are on what appears as Daf Lamed Dalet, this is in the back of the Gemara, Kulin, Daf Lamed Dalet in the Dape Harif. The last two words on the line read, V'hu ha-din de-bimetzia nami ne'mon odom lomar elu kelo shel ploni. He says, this halacha, that a Talmud Chacham is believed, it's not only a Talmud Chacham. The reason why he's got to be a Talmud Chacham is because someone else, we're afraid he's stealing. He likes that object. You found something, and he'd like to have it. It's not really his. So he says it's his. But a Talmud Chacham who never lies, according to Gemara. So we are removing the chashash meshaker, the concern that he's lying. His Talmud Chacham status removes the concern that he might be lying for personal advantage. If we had another way of removing the concern of lying for personal advantage, that would suffice too. Therefore, says the Ran, if the Talmud Chacham says that thing you found belongs to so-and-so, or even better, he's not a Talmud Chacham, but he has no ulterior motive. It's not for himself anyway. He says, I recognize that object belongs to so-and-so. He's believed. Exactly not like what the Ritva said. The Ritva said it's only a Talmud Chacham, only for himself. The Ran says, no. Talmud Chacham was only needed so that we don't have to be concerned that he's lying. But once you remove that factor, if it's somebody talking for someone else, so any person, the Ran would tell you the halacha. You found something, a guy walks over to you and says, hey, I recognize that's mine. You don't give it back to him, unless he's a Talmud Chacham. But he walks over to you and says,
for his advantage?
Yeah, that's the concern. In fact, I imagine the Ran would say that if he stands to benefit, you know, it's his brother-in-law, whatever, you know, that then maybe he wouldn't get it back. But in a case where we don't have any reason to think he's going to get advantage from it, he can say, I recognize that thing. I have no sim, but I recognize it belongs to him, and he is believed. So this really broadens the whole definition here. It sounds like, as long as you remove the chashash meshaker, as long as we're not concerned that he's lying, basically an eid echad, a single witness, a sole witness, is believed to get a lost object returned. So that makes us ask, okay, let's step back. What is the whole concept that you need simonim to have an object returned? So...
wouldn't you think about that tomorrow and forth? Because he now holds most cases where tvias ayin is good.
That's by Yisurim.
So he holds tvias ayin is good by Yisurim.
Yeah.
So he agrees.
Yeah.
So clearly, the law believes that tvias ayin is good in terms of knowing what's yours.
Right.
He just doesn't believe it.
So the question is, what happens by a lost object? Is that enough? Okay, which is what we're going to come to. So all of the Achronim, the later commentators, want to know, like, what's going on? This makes us step back and ask the question, what are the criterion for getting a lost object returned, and why? So the last source that I sent out, and if there's anybody who learned through the whole thing, I'll eat my hat. But that is the Pri Yitzchak, including me, by the way. I didn't read through the whole thing either. The Pri Yitzchak is Rav Itzel Petterberger, Rav Yitzchak Blazer, the great, he was a great Baal Musar, and equally or greater, great Chacham. He has a whole tshuva, a whole response on this topic. And at the beginning of his tshuva, he quotes what apparently a lot of the early Achronim wrote in regard to this. The later Achronim disagree with it. But the earlier ones seem to hold to this concept, and Rav Shimon Shkup quotes it, the Shev Shmaitzer quotes it, and that is as follows. Some want to contend that the whole concept that when it comes to dine mamon, when it comes to monetary law, you need two witnesses, that's only when you are being motzi. Someone else has something, I want to sue you for something that you have. You have the money now, I'm trying to collect it. To get money from you, I need two witnesses. But if it's lahachzik, I'm not trying to take anything away. I'm actually just trying to maintain status quo, or at least not take something away from somebody else, that then one witness suffices. Okay, there's a Maharik. Maharik is a very early, Rabbi Yosef Kulin, very early source. The Shev Shmaitzer quotes it. And you don't have to get all these details, but he wanted to say, he's discussing, when is it by Arayas that you need two witnesses, and when do you need one? So there's something called when there's a Cheskas Isser, so he wants to say we derive the difference between one witness or two by Arayas, dover mi mamon, from Dine Mamonis, that when it comes to monetary law, he wants to say, if you're trying to sue someone for what he has, you need two witnesses. If you're just trying to maintain something, you're not taking away, that then one witness would be enough, and that makes sort of an equation to Dine Erva as well. But that's what the Ma'arik said. The Shev Shmaitzer rejects this. I didn't give that as a source, but Rav Shimon Shkup quotes it. He says, it's not true. When the Torah says you need two witnesses. In all monetary matters, it doesn't matter whether you're maintaining or you're suing, it doesn't really matter. Plus, as Rav Itzel Petterberger points out, it won't really help us. If you wanted to use that argument, that would help to explain why the Ron holds, I can say that Bayrach, that object that you have belongs to him and you'd have to give it to him. But it wouldn't explain why a Talmud Chacham could say that object belongs to me and you have to give it to me. If you want to say that one witness is enough when you're not taking it away from anybody, and when it comes to a lost object, nobody has it anyway. You found an object. The owner doesn't have it. So I, as one witness, am sufficient to give it back to somebody because we're not taking it away from anybody anyway. But that would only explain a person talking about someone else. It wouldn't explain the Talmud Chacham talking about himself. So it doesn't really answer the question anyway. At a simple level, it seems to also be against the Gemara. There's a Gemara later, a very important Gemara that we will get to, Ezras Hashem, that wants to know... bottom of Chav Zayin and Aleph going into Chav Zayin and Beis. What is the whole concept of simonim? Is that a Torah law or a rabbinic law? Okay, we know that there's a halacha. We give back a lost object if the person produced simonim. Is that midah raisa or is that midah rabbanan? The Gemara has this as a question. Is that a Torah law or a rabbinic law? In other words, it could be that from the Torah, really, you'd have to have witnesses. But the rabbis made some kind of enactment that simonim suffice. Or is it from the Torah itself? There's a whole long discussion trying to prove the answer to that question. At the very end, I think it's Rava. Yeah, Rava says, if simonim are da'araisa, he probably means even if simonim are da'araisa, it's a Torah law. If you can demonstrate that you own it by giving a simon on it, you get it back. So he says, still, I'll give you a few scenarios. He says, what happens if one guy produces simonim, another guy produces other simonim? I know it has a scratch on the backside over here. I know that there's an orange piece of, line of paint on the other side. So they both produce simonim. So the halacha is yaniach, you leave it. Then the Gemara says, simonim v'simonim ve'eid echad. What if one guy produces simonim, and the other guy does too, but he also has one witness saying it's his? The Gemara says, Eid echa keman delesadami v'yaniach. The one witness is nothing, meaningless, persona non grata, there's no bearing, and you still leave it. The Gemara seems to be saying that when it comes to a mitziah, a lost object, a found object, one witness is worthless. Seems pretty clear.
There's no swearing. One witness would help.
Not here. Yeah. You there's a shvur seidecha, but not here. But the Gemara seems to be saying that one witness is worthless. Some ask that seems to be directly against the Ran. The Ran says one witness can say that belongs to him, and you listen to him. Here we have a Gemara that says simanim versus simanim, and forget the eidecha, forget the one witness because he's worthless anyway.
There's anything about him being a
sermon in this Gemara? He's not. I mean, doesn't the Eid Echad? No, he's just.
Yes,
just
but isn't the Ran talking about?
No, the Ran says it could be a Tzurmei Rabbanan or not. The Ran says the reason why, which is fascinating to think about, because you would never figure this out from the Gemara itself, but the Ran says the reason why the Gemara refers to a Talmud Chacham is because he's claiming it for himself. But as long as you're not claiming it for yourself, you could be anybody. Talmud Chacham is believed even for when he stands to gain. But anybody else, if I'm claiming it for you, why would I lie for you? So I must be telling the truth, so that's enough. But it seems to be against that Gemara.
The Ran view it as being motzi in that case, if two people are fighting, then it's almost...
So that's going to have to be the difference.
Yeah.
All the Achronim, that's going to... It's clear to us, it must be because there's two litigants, but what exactly is the lumdus of that is what I want to get into. So all I want to do is show there's two approaches to this whole issue, and that's it. And I might even want to show that maybe it's Machlokas Rashi in the Balamor, and then we can go home. Fair? Okay. Basically, in the Achronim, you find two approaches to this issue, which really ultimately shows us two totally different ways of looking at the need for Simanim. So the first major source is the Shari Yosher, the great Shimon Shkup. His magnum opus is the Shari Yosher. And in Sha'ar Vav, Perek Yud Dalet, he says as follows. I should have put page numbers in the packet, but it's the one that's in Rashi print, like this. Rav Shimon Shkup wants to say as follows. He says, you're looking at this whole thing backwards. You're looking at the whole question backwards. You're assuming that giving back a lost object is a monetary matter. You should need two witnesses, and you're scratching your head trying to figure out, so why is the Talmud Chacham believed? Why, according to the Ran, is one witness believed about somebody else? Where is this all coming from? It's an aberration. It doesn't fit in. He said, you're looking at it backwards. Says Rav Shimon Shkab, it's the other way. I was walking down the street and I found something. It's not mine. It could end up being mine if the guy gives up hope, etc., etc., but it's not mine. You come along and claim that it is yours. And you're sure about it, right? You come over and you say, that's mine. I didn't recognize it. So we have something called Bari Vashema, when one person is sure and the other person is not. You owe me $100. Gee, I don't remember. It's Bari Vashema. I'm sure, you're not sure. Now, Bari Vashema is Lav Bari Adif in a regular case. If I come over to you and say, you owe me $100, he says, yeah, I can't remember, that doesn't mean that I get it. But that's where you at least have a claim that, hey, I'm not sure, you should be taking $100 away from me. I've got to look into this further. But where you have no claim at all, it's not a question of my taking money out of your pocket. You have no claim to this at all. As, for example, says Rav Shimon, in a case of a lost object. I'm walking down the street, I find something. It's definitely not mine. I may get lucky, it'll end up being mine, but it's not mine. You walk over and say, that is my object.
But aren't you obligated to return it to the...
Okay, so one second. So, but the person who's claiming it, he's sure. I'm a Shema. All I can say is, maybe it's not yours. I can't say maybe it's mine. It isn't. But I can say maybe it's not yours. So that's a level better. That's called a Bari and a Shema Sha'in Lo Taina. A guy who's sure, and the respondent, not only is unsure, he has no claim. He personally has no claim to it. So Israel says, but wait a minute. We all know when you pick up a lost object, you have responsibility to the rightful owner. You are a shomer. There's a discussion in the Gemara, what kind of a shomer you are. But you now have responsibilities to the rightful owner. So Israel's saying, not so fast. You have to act as a reliable agent of maintaining this lost object. So Rav Shimon himself raises that issue, and he says, that's only insofar as you can claim for sure. If I find a lost object an hour ago, and then right now a guy walks up to me and says, hey, give that to me. I just dropped that 10 minutes ago. I would say, no, you didn't. I picked it up an hour ago, and I would be obligated to do so. And I can respond with certainty that what he's saying is not true. And if he's trying to get it from me, I owe the rightful owner, I have the responsibility to him that I will defend this object. But that's where I can make a legitimate response, a sure response. But where the owner comes, a guy comes to me and says, I am the owner, I have nothing to say to him. What do I say? Maybe you aren't. Rav Shimon says that's the weakest type of Tanna Shama, that's nothing. And therefore he says, you know what the halacha really should be in this case? Give it to him. Give it to him. Says Rav Shimon Shkab, that's what the halacha would be in regular monetary law. So then the Torah comes along. We read 2 weeks ago, Parshas Kisaitse, the Parsha of Hashavas Aveda. You shall not see the object or the animal of your friend lost and walk away. Give it back to him. And if he's not there, so you'll take it to your house. Adro Shachicho. So until your brother shall seek it out. And the Gemara makes a famous drasha, which appears on right here, Chavzayin Mabez and Chavchesim Aleph. What do you mean, until your brother seeks it out? Of course, you can't give it back to him before that. So the Gemara makes a homiletic reading of it. Adro Shachicho doesn't mean until your brother seeks. It means seek out your brother. Dro Shachicho. Check him out. Is he a Ramai or is he not a Ramai? Is it a trickster or not? So there's a halacha from the Torah. You have to check him out and make sure he's not lying. Says Rav Shimon Shkup, you know what that is? I'm going to use slightly different terminology for him. That's a mitzvah Bein Adam L'Makom. In Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, in regular Shulchan Aruch, if you open up the laws of Choshen Mishpat, monetary law, you found something, you have no idea whose it is. He says it's his, give it to him. It's none of your business, give it to him. You have no claim. He's sure you're not, give it to him. The Torah makes a special mitzvah, which comes from this pasuk. No, make sure. Make sure he's not a Rama. Make sure. In fact, Rav Shimon holds of this concept so far that he even asks the question, what right do you have to withhold someone else's money in order to do your mitzvah? Usually, I just like, you can't steal. You know, I want to shake a lulav, so I'll steal money and buy a lulav. You can't do that. So I want to fulfill a mitzvah to Hashem. It's a mitzvah in Allah Makom, but really it's rightfully His. The guy's saying, "Give me back my thing." And I said, "Well, no. God wants me to do a. It's a ritual law. It's not choshen mishpat." Rav Shimon actually asks that question, and his answer is chefetz gavra. He says, "The Torah is saying this object should not be given back." That's a very nuanced point that I don't want to harp on. If you look toward the end of the first full paragraph on page Kufa and Gimel, it says, "V'heichan matzinu kahai gavra." Where do you find such a thing? Sheyi adam rashoy ligzol shaloba mishpat, that a person can take something without justification. Kidei l'kayim mitzvosav l'shamayim, in order to do a mitzvah. The Rav Shimon holds it that far. In monetary law, it's his. There's a special mitzvah from the Torah, but don't give it back. Don't give it back until you prove that he's not a rama. It's a special halacha here. So Rav Shimon says, if this is a ritual law, if this is what he calls a chi of lashamayim, how does the halacha work with ritual law? How do you know that dinner was kosher tonight? The two witnesses walk in and testify? No. In ritual law, how do you know your tzitzis are kosher? How do you know anything you do? You're allowed to rely on one witness. You're allowed to rely on any birur, anything that clarifies to you that it's valid. So he says that's what's happening here. Really, you should just give it back. But the Torah says, make sure. Make sure. All right, so how do I make sure? Well, two witnesses would be fine. You know what else would be fine? A Talmud Chacham. If the Chavetz Chaim walks in and tells me it's his object, I'll trust him. Or, according to the Ran, if it's a person who has nothing to gain, he says it belongs to so-and-so. Now, would that hold water in real Dine Mamanus? No, but in real Dine Mamanus, you would be giving this back anyway. This is just a stringency. So, according to Rav Shimon, Simonim are a Chumra. Not a kula. It's very interesting. Like you read the Parshat Torah and you're learning Parshat Kisaitse. When you find this object, don't give it back. You have to, which is the way it sounds. Don't give it back until you would think you could just give it back. The Torah is telling you a stringency. No, don't give it back until you make sure. But what's a valid way of making sure? Two witnesses would be great. Even one witness, as long as he doesn't stand to gain, and even a Talmud Chacham. This is the approach of Rav Shimon Shkup. And as I'll demonstrate in a moment, Rav Lezer Shach and the Avi Ezri holds that way as well. However, there's always a however. Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, this is the Achiezer. Rav Chaim Ozer was the address for all of the difficult shilas in Klal Yisrael in the pre-war Europe. And this is an Achiezer and Ebenezer. He has lots of tshuvas, Aguna tshuvas, and other things. So This one, I don't know if this was written as a tshuva or just as a study in this subject. I don't know if it was meant halacha l'maisa. But if you take a look in the Achiezer, which is this page here, he says, "V'hine ha'demetzina ba'aveda hachiluk bein tzura me'rabon alama aretz." This that we find that when it comes to a lost object, there's a difference between a talmid chacham and a non-learned person. That to a talmid chacham we give it back, even if he just says, "I recognize it." We don't find the entire Torah. There's a difference between trustworthiness or believability. Don't find such a thing. That's in Ksubas. And that one line, he just disproved what I told you before. The first approach to this whole question is, one witness is believed, but if one witness is believed, why is the Talmid Chacham believed? Anyway, where do you find such a thing? So he goes on to say, and he's going to base it on a Balamor, which I'll come back to, but Reb Chaim Ozer comes at this from the exact opposite approach of Reb Shimon Shkab, where Reb Shimon was saying, in Torah law you should just give it back, in regular monetary law you should give it back, but there's a stringency that you have to make sure it's true, but that's just Ben Adam Lamakum, and therefore one witness is believed. He comes at it the other way. He assumes, no. In monetary law, this is included in monetary law, and you therefore need two witnesses. You would need two witnesses. But we do have a pasuk in the Torah that says, Ad Rosh Achicha Oso, until your brother will seek it out, or you'll check out your brother. And says Reb Shimon, that pasuk is revealing to us this Gemara that says check him out, either through witnesses or through simanim, is telling us a leniency, which is very counterintuitive. It's fascinating. In other words, when you read the Chumash, it says, don't just give it back, make sure he's telling the truth. But if you actually know halacha, what's happening is, you would have required two witnesses. And the Torah, by saying check him out, says, however you want to check him out is fine. One witness, Talmud Chacham, whatever. So it's actually a leniency, according to Rav Chaim Ozer. So the two approaches in a nutshell are that Rav Shimon, and this is the approach of Rav Shach as well, Navi Ezri, the halacha should be just give it back. The Torah makes a stringency, you got to check him out, but that one witness or Talmud Chacham is enough. The other approach is, no, you would need two witnesses, it would be regular monetary law, but the Torah reveals to us a leniency here, that however you want to check him out is good enough, and therefore Talmud Chacham, and therefore one witness. So I just want to suggest that this difference of opinion, which ultimately is how you construe simanim, right? A simanim, a leniency or a stringency, which is interesting, might be dependent on a machlokas between Rashi and the Baal Hamar. That's my whole shir. I just want to show it might be dependent on that. By the way, as an aside, Rav Itzel Petterberger, in his long response on this, on the second page of it, it's page Samach Vav in the Tshuvas Pri Yitzchak, the last bolded word, the Ein, I made a little arrow to myself here, he wants to, in the middle of his discussion, he says, by the way, you might be tempted to say that the whole halacha that a Talmid Chacham is believed is a rabbinic enactment. Maybe it's Mitra Rabbanan, in which case we don't have to get too fancy as to why it works. It may just be a rabbinic override of the system. He says it can't be. This is an aside, but I think it's an interesting one. He says it can't be. Why? Because in that sugya that discusses our simanim d'arais or d'rabbanan, the Gemara asks the following question. The Gemara says, let's say simanim are d'rabbanan. In other words, in Torah law, you don't get it back unless you bring witnesses. And the rabbis came along and said, you know what? If you can show me it's really yours by giving a simon, that's good enough. Asks the Gemara, how would that be legitimate for the rabbis to do that? Imtim, it's like a quarter of the way up on Zion base. Imtim salam simon lavda araisa heki madrin avidasa besimanan. How's that fair? Why would the rabbis do that? How's it fair if the Torah says you need witnesses and the rabbis come along and say, no, you can just give a simon? Isn't that like stealing from the rightful owner? In Torah law, the rightful, until you give get witnesses. It's not yours. Now I'm going to give back a lost object to some guy who gave me a siman on it. I might be stealing from the real owner. How could the rabbis enact such a thing? So this is what happens. The Gemara first answers one way, and then the Gemara says, no, that makes no sense. And it flips the answer. So what the Gemara first says is, because the finder is happy enough with simanim. Why? Because even though I just found something, and I shouldn't have to give it back to you unless you have witnesses. And now you come along and you give a siman. So I have to give it back to you. I just relinquished the ownership of this object. Yeah, but I'm happy enough. You know why? Because another time I'll lose something and I'll be able to give simanim. So ultimately I gain from the system. Then the Gemara says, the finder? The finder? Who cares what the finder's feelings are? You must mean the rightful owner. That's what the Gemara does. First it says, the finder is happy enough because he'll gain from it down the line. The nichle lemotzi aved enam v'simanim ki yechidichi of the leila didei nami lahad v'simanim. Amar le Rav Safra le Rav. Rav Safra says, what are you talking about? V'chi adam osa tov latz v'maman she'eno shelo. The finder has the right to relinquish this object. Ela nichle lebal aved lemei v'simanim lemishkele. You mean the rightful owner is happy enough with simanim. Because, right, I can lose something. And I don't have witnesses who know it's mine. I can give a siman on it. It's got a scratch on the back 2 inches down, but I have no witnesses. So I'm happy enough with the rabbinic enactment that simanim work, even though I might stand to lose one day from it, but I also stand to gain. So the rabbi said the rightful owner would be happy enough with that. That's the underlying logic. If we will assume that simanim are not d'oraisa, what gave the rabbis the right, or what was the rabbi's logic in making simanim work? The answer is because the rightful owner is happy enough because he'll gain from it in another case, even if he is somewhat put at risk that he might lose. Somebody will come along and give simanim, but he'll also gain from it. So Rav Itzla Petterberger says, so if you wanted to tell me that giving back to a Talmud Chacham is a rabbinic enactment, you'd have to ask the same question. Well, if Min HaTorah, he's not believed, and the rabbis want to make this Talmud Chacham believe, don't you have to come up with some similar justification? What justification is that? I'm a Aretz. The guy doesn't know Bava Kama. The guy is not a Talmud Chacham. He'll never gain from it. So just like over here, you have to show me why the rightful owner is happy, and the Gemara comes up with the way that he is, because he'll be able to give simanim. So what about Talmud Chacham? An Am Aretz walking down the street loses an object. Really, Min HaTorah, only witnesses should work to get it back. The rabbis enact, but if he's a Talmud Chacham, he can just say it's his and he'll get it back. I'm not happy about that. I only stand to lose, not to gain. So says Rav Itzla Petterberger, that proves that it must be d'oraisa, not me d'rabbanan, because if it would be d'rabbanan, we'd have to be able to justify why the rightful owner would be happy, and an Am Aretz wouldn't be happy. I don't find that. I have my ha'ara on that is, I'm not sure it's really such a strong proof, because what the rabbis are saying is we are sure that this will be emes, this will be true. When you empower the world to get objects back through simanim, you know that somebody might steal. A charlatan may come along, and he knew this. I know what your object looks like, so you lost it, and I go and I claim it. You do put people at risk. But if we really believe, as the Gemara says, that the Gemara Chaf Gimel Beis Chaf Dalman Aleph, that a Talmud Chacham will not lie, so then you're not putting the Am Aretz in peril of losing his objects, because we believe that it will never harm him. So I'm not sure that it's really such a proof. But the truth is, we have other indications that it's d'oraisa. So here's, which brings me to what I wanted to say, and this is really just the crux of the shiur. It won't be that much longer. As I said, Rav Shach in the Avi Ezri, the great Rav Lezer Shach, who lived to be about 106 years old, was buried in the cemetery in Bnei Brak, and it says, there's an excerpt from his will on his stone there that says that anybody who learned anything from me should have him in mind, and it should be a zchus, so we'll have Rav Shach in mind, we learn a piece from the Avi Ezri. So Rav Shach, when he is demonstrating why he agrees with Rav Shimon. He doesn't quote Rav Shimon, but he's taking the same approach. It's on the second page of the Avi Ezri. It's page Kuf Nun Gimel. He quotes the following Gemara. So here's what happens. Rav Shach holds this way, and he quotes Rashi. Rav Chaim Ozer holds that way, and he quotes the Baal Amar. And I submit to you that that's why. If you hold like Rashi, you're going to end up holding like Rav Shach and Rav Shimon Shkup. If you hold like the Balamor, you won't. That's all I'm trying to suggest here. And that is as follows. This Gemara, this Brisa that says you'll keep the lost object ad derosh achicha oso. So your brother seeks it, which would make a drasha. It means derosh achicha, seek out your brother, check him out. So the Gemara tries to adduce that as a proof that simanim are daraisa. What does that mean? How do you check him out? My lav b'simanim. What does the Torah mean by that? There's a drasha in the Torah. Check him out. Make sure he's not lying. Well, what does that mean? Doesn't mean. Well, do you have a siman on it? Describe an identifying feature. And the Gemara answers, lo be'edim. Not necessarily. Maybe it means with witnesses. Okay, what I just said is the Gemara of Zion Beis. Check him out. Doesn't check him out mean through simanim, which would prove that simanim are daraisa? Answers the Gemara, lo be'edim. No, with witnesses. So what do you mean, no, with witnesses? So Rashi says, witnesses who say that it's yours. Okay? The Baal Hamor, just marked it off during Mar. The Baal Hamor is also a great Rishon in the back of the Gemara. Says he disagrees with Rashi. We I don't want to get into it too much, but we already knew actually that witnesses work. There wouldn't be another pasuk to tell us that witnesses work. So the Baal Hamor says, no, it means witnesses that you are a Talmud Chacham, and then you'll be believed just to say it's yours. So we have a machlokas Rishonim. When the Gemara says, Adro Shachicha, you have to check him out that he's not a liar. What doesn't that mean through simanim? No, it means through witnesses. Rashi says through witnesses means witnesses that it's yours. The Baal Hamor says, no, it means bring witnesses that you are a Talmud Chacham, and then just say, I recognize that's my object, and these guys attest to the fact that I know Shas pretty well, so give it back to me. Okay, machlokas Rishonim. So Rav Shach quotes Rashi, and he says, gee, why would you need a pasuk to tell me that you need witnesses? If you have a pasuk that tells me that simanim work, that's something else. But look at this. This is Rav Shach in the first, bottom of the first column of Kufnun Gimel. V'chitzrichin kro lidro shelo yachzer b'li'edim. You need a pasuk to tell you you wouldn't give it back if you didn't have witnesses? Im simanim lav daraisa? Why would you? Of course. Says Rav Shach, what you see from Rashi is that without a pasuk, what would you have assumed? What would have been your natural assumption with regard to a lost object? Just give it back to him. You need a pasuk to say, no, no, bring witnesses. I don't understand in all monetary law. You want to prove something? Bring witnesses. Why, when it comes to a lost object, do I need a pasuk to tell me, don't give it back until he brings witnesses? You think in every halacha in the Torah, you have a pasuk to teach you you need witnesses? You want to prove something, you need witnesses. That's how all of monetary law works. Why here does the Torah single out and say, until he brings witnesses? Says Rav Shach, what that shows you is that the natural assumption without that pasuk would have been what? Give it back to him. Which is the approach of Rav Shimon Shkup and Rav Shach. Mm-hmm. A metziah is not like other things. If I want to sue you for $100, I need two witnesses. But if you come along and want to claim a lost object that I found walking when I was walking down the street, just claim it, and I give it to you. Bari v'shema shein lo taina bari adif. You know, I don't know anything. I have no responsibility to a non-owner, you know, so I would just give it back to you. So Rav Shach looks at that Rashi and says, that Rashi proves to me that the natural assumption would have been, you don't need anything. Simana mara chumra. Interestingly, Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, the future shiurim will not be this complicated. I had too much time to prepare. That's what happened. Anyway, Rav Chaim Ozer, who's the one who disagrees, he's the one who says, no, to return a lost object, you need witnesses. And just here, the Torah is teaching you a leniency, not a stringency. If you look at his tshuva, he tells you, look at the Baal Hamor. I'm looking at the source. The fourth line of the Shalos Tshuvos Achiezer, he says, "Ula mitarasan shal rishonim lamanu be'er hadvarim." We don't understand this. We don't understand why we're believing a Talmud Chacham. Where does this come from? That you believe a Talmud Chacham, or according to the Ran and Eid Echad, a single witness? But from the Rishonim, I learned the answer. Just quoting the Gemara here. V'chisal al daitcha sheid nenu l'kodim sheyreshenu elo darsheu im rama hu oena rama my lav b'simanim lo b'edim. That Gemara was just quoting. Check out your brother. Doesn't that mean through simanim? No, it means witnesses. And Rashi says, he quotes Rashi, says, bring witnesses that it's his. The Baal Amor asks on that and says, we already knew that you can bring witnesses that it's yours, and therefore he answers, Uperish, and I bolded this, Be'edim Shiyavi, Edim She'eno Ramai, Ela Shutzur Merabonan, Benotel Betvias Ayin. So the Baal Amor is saying there is a source in the Torah that says, bring witnesses that you're a Talmud Chacham, and then you'll be believed. He says, there you go, that's our concept. And he learns that's a leniency. If we were quoting Rashi, he'd be learning that it's a stringency. So really, the machlokas and approach here between Rav Shimon Shkup and Rav Shach on one hand, and Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski and Rav Itzla Petterberger on the other hand, is it that you don't need any proof and there's a stringency from the Torah that you need some proof, or do we assume it's like everywhere else where you need two witnesses and there's a leniency that a Talmud Chacham suffices and maybe an Eid Echad suffices according to the Ran? That probably stems from the machlokas between Rashi and the Baal Amor. If you learn like Rashi, that the Torah needs to tell me that I need witnesses, then it must be the natural assumption is you don't need witnesses. Hence Rav Shimon Shkup, hence Rav Shach, and that's why Rav Shach, in making this argument, quotes Rashi. But the Baal Amor doesn't learn the Gemara that way, he doesn't have any source like that, so he learns it the other way, that the natural assumption is that you do need witnesses, and then the limud from the Torah is that if you have witnesses that you are a Talmud Chacham, that suffices. So it could very well be that this Chakira, these two approaches, are really dependent on a Machlokas Rishon. That's just the added knach, the added little bit that I wanted to add. But ultimately, the main point I wanted to bring out from all of this is very simply, why do you need Simanim? Major machlokas. It could be really you shouldn't need anything, and the Torah made a stringency. You really should just give it back. And the Torah said, you know what, you have a special mitzvah here, don't give it back until you have some indication. Either witnesses, or Talmud Chacham, or one witness. But the other approach is, no, it's like regular monetary law, which ultimately gets into how you respond to Rav Shimon's arguments. It's a little bit like what Israel was saying before. To what degree does the person who finds an object really have responsibilities? Rav Shimon is assuming you're nobody, you're a persona non grata. Which, by the way, the Gemara that I quoted to you sort of sounds that way. You remember, I quoted to you a Gemara that says, if simonim are not daraisa, why did they make simonim work? And the Gemara first said, well, the guy who finds it is happy enough with the simonim to work. And then Rav Shimon said, who cares about the finder? What matters is the loser. So what do you see from that Gemara? Who cares about the finder? Yeah, because the finder doesn't matter. The finder is nobody. He might happen to benefit in the end, like he won the lottery. He might get it, but he has no claim to it until that happens. Maybe later on, well, Chaim Brisker doesn't learn it that way. He learns that the finder actually has some claim to it, but the Gemara does sort of...
But Rashi said, is it the Rabbana or by the Benderaisa? I mean, the obligation...
Well, the Gemara is in the middle of trying to prove one way or other.
And Baal Amor, they don't disagree?
No, they're commenting on one of the proofs. Mm. The Gemara is exploring. From the fact that the Torah says, make sure he's not a Ramai, doesn't that mean with Simana, which means Daraisa? And the Gemara says, well, no, maybe not. Maybe it means witnesses. So they're commenting on that point in the Gemara. The Gemara does seem to end up saying they are Daraisa. But so the other approach is that it's just like all other monetary law, and the fact that you can rely on siman and Talmud Chacham and maybe even Eid Echad, it's a leniency, not a stringency. So why do we need siman? Two different approaches, and this has bearing on other sugyas, and the Mirtzah Shem hope will come to them after the Yom Tovim.
Thank you.